Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and don't forget that WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein and I continue our weekly podcast digesting politics into the general election campaign. If you're following the presidential race, you can sign up for this web-only feature that you won't hear on the radio. It is free, of course. Sign up for the Digesting Politics podcast at WNYC.org. Now, if you're a business owner, don't bank on getting a loan from a bank anytime soon. You know, part of what's going on right now is a credit crunch. And the Federal Reserve says bank credit, like commercial and industrial loans, dropped 3% over the last year. That's the largest annual decline since the credit tightening that began with the last recession back in 2001. Of course, there was all that, let's say, dumb credit that went out to subprime mortgage borrowers and things like that. So joining us to get our minds around the credit crunch and what it means and why there's a trickle-down effect from this, even if you're not a business owner and don't try to borrow any money, why there's a trickle-down effect to just about everybody right now. Michael Darda, Chief Economist and Director of Research at MKM Partners, a Connecticut-based equity trading and research firm. Michael, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
And again, we want to make this in part a call-in for business owners on your changing relationship with credit. Can you not get the loans that you were getting to help run your business and grow your business? And if so, how is that affecting the other things that you do with your business? 646-778-3729. And do you think that the banks are squeezing you? What if you're credit worthy? Anybody listening who thinks you're credit worthy but you can't get a loan because the banks are just being so cautious right now? 646-778-3729 or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Now, Michael, just a few months ago, credit extended by banks was still growing at double-digit rates from what I've read. What happened?
Well, what happened is that this real estate bust that we've been in for several years now has sort of metastasized into a crisis of confidence in credit and in the economic outlook. So as banks are struggling with bad loans and charge-offs, they're having to set aside, you know, more of a reserve, and that means that they're going to make fewer loans, and they are making fewer loans. And the loans they are making are coming with much more stringent standards and at higher interest rates. So that all has a depressant effect on economic activity, employment, and output. And so we're seeing the economy struggle under that strain.
And are you hearing a lot of barking from businesses now that are saying, look, come on, we have a good business. We make money. We have a good business model. But they're not giving me the money that I need to grow.
Well, you know, probably, the bankers may be hearing that. You know, we're not talking to individual businesses. I just assess the data from a top-down perspective, and it's kind of interesting.
Right.
There's been a little bit of a divergence in there's a small business survey that's put out by the National Federation of Independent Business, and it surveys very small businesses, like we're talking, you know, a handful of people in terms of, you know, how many are employed. And they're not really saying that there's a huge credit crunch going on, but we most definitely can see a credit squeeze in the lending standards that the Federal Reserve reports in its survey of loan officers. Those things have skyrocketed to levels that we haven't seen since 2000, 2001, and then you got to go back to the early 90s, both situations where we had business cycle downturns and banking problems. This situation is probably more similar to the early 1990s, since that one was driven by the real estate market as well, although the problems there originated in the commercial real estate market, where, you know, today our issue is much more driven by the residential market.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's one of those barking business owners, I think. Brian in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I actually am a small business owner and went through the process of getting approved for new leases and everything. And then I decided to not do it because the interest rates they're offering now are a lot higher. And I think in this situation, you don't really know the people you're doing business with, their creditworthiness. So it's kind of taking on responsibilities that in the long term you may decide is not the best decision.
Right. So what kind of a business do you run and what happened to you?
It's a photo business. And, you know, we're just going running around and you're working with clients and their situation is rapidly deteriorating, and you work with agencies and all of a sudden, you know, the people that they're working with are cutting back budgets or rethinking some of the things they've already decided to execute. And so it just becomes, I think, you know, a situation where you're running around trying to get through several layers of other people who seem to be having issues.
I think you told my screener a story where you were approved for credit, but then turned down.
No, I turned it down.
Oh, you turned it down.
Yeah, looked at the terms and said, you know what, this is not where we were last time.
I get it.
And sat there and said, you know, I don't think this is really going to be, I think it's best to do kind of cash and carry, ask for more money up front from clients, and try to negotiate it that way. Because I think the problem with small businesses is you don't know the credit worthiness of other people. You kind of only know your own, and you know what the banks are doing.
Right.
But other people, it's kind of difficult.
So they're being cautious, you're being cautious. As you say, it goes around in a cycle right now.
Exactly.
Which I guess, and Brian, thanks for your call, and which I guess Michael Darda from MKM Partners starts to have, you know, kind of a cycling effect, right? If somebody's being cautious and then somebody else is cautious as a result, even if the objective conditions, if there are such things, don't require that much caution, then everybody's cautious and the whole thing slows down.
That's exactly right. If everyone's cautious at the same time, then the economy stops growing. And so, you know, I mentioned at the outset, we have a crisis of confidence in credit. We have a crisis in confidence in the economic outlook. Those two things together are about a 100-mile-an-hour headwind for the economy. So this won't last forever. We will get through this, but it's going to take time. And I think at least the next 6 months are certainly going to be, you know, a tough row to hoe.
Now, I said that some businesses are barking about this. Jared in Jersey City certainly has barking in his business model. Hi, Jared.
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
What's your business?
Dog daycare and boarding.
Ha, ha, ha. So did you call to bark?
No, I didn't call. Actually, I went to a quiet area so you could hear me clearly because I have about 89 here today, so it's a little loud.
Wow, 89 dogs under one roof.
Yes. Yeah, we have 10,000 square feet and 2,000 outdoors, so we kind of spread them out.
I would have rather heard the dogs than those car horns, you know. So what's up?
No, well, I was listening to your show. I called in. I've actually experienced the opposite a little bit, maybe because of my size. I'm not quite a seven-figure business yet close. But I have a long-standing loan out from Capital One that I was able to refinance, actually add a ton more debt to it at the same rate I had 4 years ago.
Mm.
And they kept all the same guarantees, no new restrictions. And I have a line of credit with Wells Fargo, and almost every month I get a letter inducing me to try and access. I haven't touched it yet, but they lower the rate by a quarter point here, and they raise the amount I can actually borrow.
Is it because there's never a slow season for doggy daycare?
Well, you know, I think we're one of those industries, at least from my perspective, that are insulated from the overall economy. I have a lot of mortgage guys that come here, you know, work in New York and come across the Hudson to live here.
Right.
And they spend a lot of money here. I mean, you know, $800,000 a month is not uncommon for my regular customer to spend for daycare.
Wow.
And I've only felt a few people lost their jobs and they get a new one, like literally within the week, and they call me back. I guess I'm lucky. And my price for food and gas, obviously, I do a transport too, about 40 dogs a day. And that's doubled since in the last year and a half. But I'm healthy, I guess. And maybe because of low debt, I owe very little money, and that's maybe why they're willing to give me more.
Well, the pet babysitting sector of the Dow is skyrocketing this morning. And Jared, thanks for your call. Good luck.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Now, Michael Darda, are there certain industries that are struggling more than others to obtain loans? And when we take it to the level of small business, which is what we're talking about mostly here, is it certain kinds of businesses?
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, if you are a good credit and, you know, you have a lot of savings, you don't have much debt, and you want to take out a loan, you can get a loan. Now, the standards on that loan or the terms of the loan are going to be tougher, and the loan's going to be more expensive than it was, let's say, a year ago or 2 years ago. But, you know, loans are still available. Good credits can definitely still get loans. But at the margin, when things tighten, certain borrowers are going to be shut out. Borrowers with more shaky credit, borrowers with less of a track record are going to find it much more difficult. And at least, you know, from the surveys that we see from the Federal Reserve, credit standards have tightened most dramatically for residential and commercial real estate. Even industrial loan standards have tightened, but it's been most dramatic, obviously, in the real estate sector because that's where most of the pain is.
Paul in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
All right. What kind of business you got?
Well, I'm a real estate developer, and, you know, I've been listening to your program and everything you've been talking about, everything Michael has been saying. I mean, I have experience in all of it. It's like I couldn't have explained it better myself.
Tell us a story.
I can tell you a couple, but as far as, you know, as far as business credit, for example, I do a lot of business with major credit card companies, American Express included.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very large line of credit, several hundred thousand dollars. And, for example, a couple of months ago, I was phoned by American Express, which I have a great relationship with. I don't want to, you know, say anything to the contrary. But they called me and said, you know, we're going to cut your credit basically in half. I lost about $100,000 in available credit with a phone call with no notice, nothing in the mail. And I'm a customer that, you know, charges $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a month. And I've always had a perfect record with them. So I called and I spoke to the powers that be, and it was reinstated within a couple of days because of my record. But something like that can be devastating to a, you know, a small to mid-sized developer who's in the middle of a project, especially like I was at the time, and I still am. So it's, you know, thankfully I got it reinstated, but you depend on that credit, especially in times like these when it's, money is very hard to come by. So that's just one example of what happened to me.
So what are you going to do? How are you going to compensate?
Well, like I said, my line was reinstated, but at the same time, I'm doing a mixed-use project right now in Jersey City. Fortunately, it's in the best area, so I have that on my side. But I just refinanced the commercial part of the property, and let me tell you, he started it in January, and I just closed last month because the terms kept changing. The commitment kept being revised. It got pulled. It got reinstated. The interest rate fluctuated. The collateral needed to be increased. It was just a six-month closing, and finally, you know, we got it done. So I just was able to refinance and cash out, and only because I own this property in cash.
Right.
So I had a ton of equity in it, and they still gave me an extremely hard time. So
you are right, Paul. You are a one-person focus group in all of this, and I think your experiences really clarify it to a lot of the listeners who may not be in the kinds of positions that you and some of the other callers were in. So good luck out there. Keep us posted, and thanks for checking in on this. That was very instructive.
Okay, thank you.
And before you go, Michael Darter, I gather you told our screener that credit indicators are not just going down, they're kind of falling apart, and that the second half of the year is going to be real tough in this respect. What do you see, and what do you see as the implications?
Well, I think we have to, you know, wait until we see a change in the indicators that are sort of at the epicenter of this crisis, which is mortgage finance. And the fact is, even after all these Federal Reserve rate cuts, mortgage rates are higher now than they were before the Fed started cutting rates from 5.25% all the way down to 2%. That's a problem. The jumbo loan market, which is a lot of the tri-state area, those rates are now making new highs. I just checked this morning. So we need to see that reverse. And when that starts to reverse, then we'll know that, you know, we're starting to turn the corner. It hasn't happened yet. So we've got 6 months of tough sledding in front of us. Hopefully 2009 will be better.
Michael Darter, maybe you saw him quoted in the New York Times lead story today, which was about the credit crunch. He is chief economist and director of research at MKM Partners, a Connecticut-based equity trading and research firm. Thanks a lot for coming on with us.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute. What does it mean when your novel is labeled young adult? Stay with us.